Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting introduces you to the candidates of the 2018 election. We've invited each candidate to join us for live interviews on In the Moment between now and November. Today, we welcome State Representative Tim Goodwin of Rapid City. He is running for re-election to the State House, and he is from District 30. He's joining us on the phone now from Rapid City. Tim Goodwin, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It seems like just yesterday we were having your last Meet the Candidates conversation.
It was by fast, you know, in South Dakota, both the House and the Senate have to run for re-election every 2 years. And so
Right. You
get 1 year break and then you're on the campaign trail again.
All right. So there's some advantages and disadvantages to that. How do you feel like you're looking at talking to your constituents about why you need to go back to peer and continue the work that you've already started?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get graded as the number one conservative in the House last year out of 70 people. And our district, you know, we wanted to stop government spending, especially government growth. And I'd say every day when I'm in the legislature that I didn't go to peer to raise your taxes and or your fees or to take away your liberties. That's not why I went to peer. And so I fight that issue every day.
Right. Who voted the number one conservative? Where'd that come from?
It was by there's a group called Citizens for Liberty.
Okay.
I did a report card on that.
Right.
And there's another one coming out in August. I'm interested to see it's the conservative caucus. It's run by Matt Schwab. And that one there, it'll be interesting. I was third last year. I was hoping maybe I could be one this year. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. So let's talk about some
70,
of those.
That's still pretty good being third.
Some of those top issues that you think need to be brought to the legislature. What's on your mind?
Excuse me, I didn't catch that last part.
Let's talk about some of the top issues that you think need to be, you're hearing from your constituents that they want brought back to peer in the next session, should you be elected again.
You know, everybody, you know, I think in the whole state, we had a hard-fought governor's race.
Right.
We had two top-tier candidates. I mean, we couldn't go along with either one. Kristi Noem won. And so everybody's interested in her stance on things.
Mm.
In my district, which is Fall River County, Custer County, and Southern Pennington, it's a long ways from where Christie's from. So there's a lot of questions about that. So I've been kind of talking to him about her vision. You know, she has four pillars in her vision
that
are really pretty exciting. You know, one is no tax increases or fees. One's no government growth. One's to try to stop and pull back on federal intrusion from the federal government. And then her last one is integrity and transparency. And we've had some problems in South Dakota with transparency and some really unfortunate things with EB-5 and Gear Up. And so it's exciting to see somebody to come in and tackle those problems head on.
You mentioned taxes, and I'm wondering if you might want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court case, SD versus Wayfair, and the victory for South Dakota there, and how that impacts this whole, post-Blue Ribbon Task Force taxes, sales tax.
Sure.
Explain to people how that works and what we really should be watching for to where we know what's going to happen next as voters.
Well, yeah, what happened is before that case went to the Supreme Court, Marty Jackley, appeared before the same court and testified on behalf of the whole nation, but it's quite an honor to have somebody from South Dakota do that. Before that, it goes back to when we had everybody calls it the teacher's pay raise. It actually was some property tax relief for the half cent, went from 4 cents to 4.5 cents. In order to get that passed, it was before I was in the legislature. It was called the Partridge Amendment from then Representative Partridge. He's a senator now. That said that once internet sales or e-commerce sales, whatever you want to call it, hit $100 million, the half-cent sales tax, the increase would go back to the taxpayers. So that's already in the law. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how many people try to strike that from the law.
Hmm.
Because now that this has went through, we'll hit $100 million in internet sales. We don't know the number right now. I think they're purposely hiding it from us. But that's going to have to come out, and we'll get $100 million. The half-cent sales tax goes back to the taxpayers, so our sales tax will go back to 4%. The only way that could be changed is if we change the law.
Hmm.
So most people don't understand that part.
Right. Something to pay attention to find out when we've
Absolutely.
Hit that number. And that goes back to the conversation
right.
about
I did
transparency.
Have a bill, 2 years ago trying to force Department of Revenue to put out a chart saying where we're at on
sure.
What e-commerce sales is, you know, how much is there collected.
Right.
And I couldn't get that passed.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I'm really glad Christie wants transparency in government and we can start trying to hide stuff or cook the books or whatever they're doing, because every South Dakota needs to know where we're at on e-commerce sales. And, you know, we should have a, like the United Way has for their drives, for their funds.
Big thermometer.
We
yeah.
should have a thermometer in every newspaper saying we're at 70 million, we're at 80 million, or where we're at.
Right. Interesting. All right. I want to talk a little bit here at the end about something I saw on your website, which was you had, first of all, your website is sort of a civics lesson for your constituents, which I find interesting, that ongoing communication you've been able to provide. And one of the things you asked was for a survey about, or, you know, you solicited opinions about gun control and gun legislation and background checks from your constituents. Some surprising numbers in there with what people told you. Tell us a little bit about that. We just have a couple minutes left.
Yeah, I just, after we had a lot of the, you know, mass shootings and stuff, you know, it's just kind of a national issue, maybe not so much a South Dakota issue, but, of course, anything happens nationwide, we pay attention to.
Right.
So I just drew up a survey and sent it out there, and they had the email in the results. And I had like 400, it was over 400, I think 409, but the exact number is, I can't remember it. But anyway, it's over 400. People reply back, and so that's pretty cool. And that survey was just published in the local newspapers, the mm-hmm. weeklies, we call them in our district, you know, New Underwood and Wall and Custer, Hot Springs, and I'm forgetting one, Hot Springs and Edgemont are together now. On Hill City. And so those,
sure.
those weekly newspapers published the survey and people emailed in their results. And so I don't know, I'm a little bit more Second Amendment-ish, hawkish, you might say.
Sure.
Where I think the Second Amendment is all we need for gun control. But a lot of people expressed their opinions. It was a chance for them to, and lots, a lot of them, instead of just giving me the answer to the survey, A, B, C, or D.
Right.
They also, you know, wrote a pretty extensive narrative of how they felt. And so it's just a chance for everybody to sound off. You get a feel what's going on. But it was a little bit more like, I would have liked it to have been a little bit more stricter as far, or I should say less stricter as far as gun control. But, you know, everybody's nervous about that now.
Right.
And everybody's wondering what's going to happen,
right.
you know, when you're in a theater or when you're at a basketball
yeah.
game.
So you
or
had, you know, like 75% of people were gun owners who responded. 75% had, you
right.
know, used their gun in the last, you know, recently, I can't remember how many months it was, but the majority were saying that they didn't think the state legislature was doing enough to
right.
address the problem. Well, what do you take to peer with that survey now? How do you take that to peer?
Well, I know there's going to be two bills coming up from it. One is it's called constitutional carry.
Right.
And constitutional carry means the Second Amendment gives you the right to carry a weapon or a sidearm, providing that you're a law-abiding citizen. And then the other one that's going to come up this session is called capital carry, where you could actually carry into the Capitol. And those two were passed 2 years ago by the legislature and vetoed by Governor Dugard, and then we didn't have the votes to override the veto.
Mm-hmm.
And so both Marty Jackley and Christy Nolan said they were going to they were in favor of both of those bills during the campaign trail, so I'm sure they'll both surface this year.
Representative Tim Goodwin on the phone from Rapid City, District 30. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.